Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 42nd episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, January 17th. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Do you believe spiritual warfare exists or even know what it is? As Christians, we are all invested in this battle. We can't win the war unless we recognize our enemy and learn how to use the weapons available to us. My guest this morning, Linda Evans Shepherd, is the founder of Right to the Heart Ministries, which publishes the free online magazine Leading Hearts, oversees an online archive for the hurting and suicidal called Thinking About Suicide.com, and manages the work of Advanced Writers and Speakers Associations. Linda has authored almost 30 books and is known as the prayer author and speaker. Her latest work is entitled Winning Your Daily Spiritual Battles, Living Empowered by the Armor of God, and is available now. In her book, Linda gives strategies to fight and win against the forces that keep us from living the full and intentional life God has planned for us. Welcome to the show this morning, Linda.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, as you know, we tried this last week and things didn't work well, and I think it maybe had something to do with technology on my end. So we are fervently praying that we will be able to deliver a great show to our listeners this morning. Linda, you are a multi-published...
Yes, I'm for that.
Absolutely. Linda, you are a multi-published author, and you have shared the message of hope and faith and the power of prayer with many. Would you share with us what kind of childhood experiences do you believe contributed to your career?
Well, when I was a kid, I never planned to be a writer. And I'll never forget that day in sixth grade when I was daydreaming and thinking about other things other than the math lesson. The teacher interrupted my thoughts and, to my horror, said, "I don't care if you do grow up to be a best-selling author. You're going to learn math so you can balance your royalty statements." Everybody laughed, and I was totally humiliated and shocked, and I'm thinking, where in the world did she come up with that idea?
Oh, that is too funny.
I don't know. You know, I'm a modestly selling author. I mean, if everyone goes out and buys my book, maybe we can make my teacher's prediction come true. But anyway, joking aside, I had a best friend who always wanted to grow up and become an author and move to Colorado and write books. And me, I wanted to work with kids. I felt a call to ministry. I wanted to go to seminary. And what happened, I ended up getting kicked out of seminary for marrying an engineering student instead of a seminary student. This was way back when. And she ended up marrying a seminary student and went to seminary for like 8 years.
Oh, for goodness sakes. That is really ironic, Linda.
We joke that we switched dreams, but,
I guess,
you know, being a writer wasn't even on my radar. But how I love communicating the truths and the love of God to my audiences.
Well, I think that story is just fascinating. That's pretty neat. Linda, your latest book, Winning Your Daily Spiritual Battles, addresses the issue of spiritual warfare. Tell us what spiritual warfare is.
Well, I think that's a brilliant question to ask, Patty, because a lot of us imagine all kinds of things of spiritual warfare, and it's really simple. It was defined once by Charles Spurgeon, a pastor, I think he lived in the 1800s, and he said that spiritual warfare is hindrance from doing the thing God has called you to do. Think about that. We have a little bit of hindrance last week when we tried to come together and present this information. That is not terribly surprising. Hindrance from loving your neighbor, hindrance from telling your friend about the love of Jesus, hindrance from fulfilling the purposes that God has on your life. Some people even experience the temptation of suicide, and that is the ultimate hindrance against the purposes that God has on your life. All of that can be counted as spiritual warfare.
So here's a question for you, Linda. How do we know when the obstacles to our goals, what we perceive as God's plan for us, are the result of spiritual warfare and there or the result of our own lack of effort in accomplishing them?
Well, I think warfare is not lack of effort in accomplishing things that we feel called to do. It's, in other words, it's not our own laziness, unless inspired by the enemy not to get off the couch from watching your favorite TV show and call your friend when they go on your heart. That could be warfare. But warfare can come to us in many different ways. It's always an obstacle to keep you from doing what you are called to do. For example, I was writing this book, and it was an October evening, and it was a beautiful night. And at 10 o'clock, I'm in the middle. I have an allegory that runs through the book that describes the armor of God. And in the allegory, I have a slave who is rescued by a great prince and then taught how to fight against the enemy with the weapons of warfare that correlate very strongly to our spiritual warfare lessons. So here she is. And I'm writing this beautiful piece about the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit. And just as I'm really getting into it, my little dog asked to go out. Well, that's not necessarily spiritual warfare. I didn't count that as a hindrance until I opened up the back door and I asked him, I said, go ahead. And he just looked at me. And so then I stepped onto the back step, and when I did, there was a hidden cubby hole above my head that I had never noticed, and inside of that hidden cubby hole was a bat. And the bat, at that moment, a spider landed on my head. The bat sees the spider and dives for my head, and I raise my arms. I get scratched by the bat. And I spent the next 4 hours in the emergency room trying to explain to the doctor that, no, I had not been drinking, and, yes, a bat really did attack me.
Yes, I read that story in the book, yeah.
But the cool thing about that particular piece of warfare that came right in the middle of me writing this particular piece about fighting with the Word of God, it hindered me, but at the same time, God has a way of redeeming these attacks that the enemy has against us, and I was able to use the story as a beautiful example.
Exactly,
in my
you were
book.
Able to weave that right into the story. Yeah.
So it turned out that the enemy came at me to hinder me from writing my book, but the Lord turned it into a blessing as I was writing my book.
Mm-hmm. And I guess my conflict, maybe it's just a matter of time management issues, I don't know. But it just seems to me, when I start out with a goal to, say, write blog posts, for example, okay? But
yeah.
Then, like you say, you know, a friend, thought of a friend, comes into my heart, and I think, gee, I haven't talked to so-and-so in such a long time, and I know that that their life isn't that good, and she'd probably really enjoy to hear from me. So I get on the phone, and 2 hours are gone that I was going to use to write this other thing that I need to do. And at the end of the day, I find myself thinking, gee, is this spiritual warfare, or is maybe God pointing me toward other goals?
Well,
maybe the goal for that day was to talk to that person.
You know, you could be exactly right. Sometimes our priorities are not God's priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I, for example, haven't written a blog for about a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, but
I will go in and create one at some point. And I think God's okay with that. And I'm busy doing other things, creating social media. I like to create encouraging social media. You can follow me on at Linda Shepherd at Twitter and different things like that. And so I think the key, Patty, is tapping in to God's will. And you can do that simply by asking the Lord to guide your steps and to make his priority your priority. And if he puts a friend on your heart, check in with him and say, Lord, is this what you would have me do now? Ask him. And you can feel through his spirit a yes or a no, or just have a sense of what the purpose is. And if you don't know how to do that, just keep pressing into that. Keep reading the word, and you will learn how to discern. And I'm not saying that for you, because I know you know how to do that. But for the people listening.
I'm not sure always.
Well, we can all learn more, better discernment, right? More better.
Definitely. Yeah, more better.
More better.
Well, I suppose if I feel the call to contact this friend and they don't answer the phone, and then I sit down and read my favorite novel for a couple of hours and say, well, I'll just keep reading until, you know, I can get a hold of this person, because that's my goal for today, and push aside the other. Something I started doing is I call it my daily activity. I love Excel. I love to do these little Excel files all the time. So I have this, I call it my daily activities, and the night before I'll just write down all the things I want to do the next day. And then that next day I will check off what I have done, but what I haven't, I will move down to the, you know, the following day. And I keep doing that, and I keep adding things. And if I got something done that wasn't on my list, that's really great, and I'll add that. And it just kind of, I can look back and say, man, you know, I've been putting this thing off for a week. I need to get it done today. And it's been kind of helpful to me. But it also makes me realize that I get more done than I think I do.
Oh, yeah. And I do something really similar to
that. And that's where I have been so frustrated, because I'll go to the end of the day and say, what in the world did I do today? Well, now that I'm writing it down, starting to feel a little better.
Well, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves any way we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
I do
something very similar to that. I have a running list of things, and I notice I get more done when I have a list of things. And I look at my list, and I say, what do I have time to do? And, Lord, what are you highlighting? And what seems like a green light, that's usually God's leading. It's like, I can do this today, or I really need to get this done, and then I do it, and that really keeps me from, in fact, I need to update my list right now.
I'm doing that just before the show. Linda, in your book, you talk about putting on the armor of God. How can you share with our listeners that manifests itself in our daily lives?
Well, I think, number one, we have to look at what is putting on the armor of God. It's kind of hard to get dressed if you don't know where your clothes are.
Right, what you're going to put on. Yeah.
Right. And so let me give you a definition of what the armor of God is. I think that will help in this conversation.
Yeah, because it has many components.
Yes. There are several pieces that we can put on, starting with the helmet of salvation. And if you look at it, our salvation is in Jesus. So when we put on the helmet of salvation by saying, Jesus, come into my heart, if you've never done that, this is a good day to do that. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and just remind yourself, I have got the salvation of Jesus. That's a great thing. So actually you're putting on Jesus when you put on the helmet of salvation. The next piece of armor we'll talk about is truth. Paul, when he wrote the allegory of the armor of God, talked about putting on the belt of truth around our waist. And honestly, Patty, truth is probably the number one way the enemy attacks not only us, but the whole world, putting them in darkness, not getting, blinding them from understanding what is true. I mean, oh my goodness, I don't know what side of the election you were on, but we wouldn't even go there, but I will say that different people saw truth in different ways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's clear that different people don't always either see truth or they see it totally different, but truth is truth. And so we don't want to be fooled. We want to have full understanding of truth. And so when we actually put on truth, and Jesus is the truth, the way and the light and the life, if he is the truth, so we need to have truth around our waist so we do not get tricked or fooled by the enemy. And so, again, putting on truth is putting on Jesus. Now, the next thing is the gospel of the shoes of peace, the sandals of peace, standing on the peace of Christ, putting peace on into your life. If you walk in the peace of Christ into any situation in your life, you're going to have a more easy to obtain victory. Going into an argument, angry and upset, or into a situation, but knowing that God is with you. And as you walk into a difficult situation, having that peace that ultimately things are going to be okay is a huge advantage on the battlefield. Now, the next piece of armor that we can talk about is the shield of faith against all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Oh, this is really important because Jesus is also the author and finisher of our faith, so Jesus is our faith, and when we lift up our faith, then when the enemy puts doubts and whispers lies to us or tries to discourage us, and we've all heard from the enemy, oh, that wasn't very good, you could have done better, who do you think you are, you're no good, that was no good, that's from the enemy. That is the voice of the enemy, and put up that shield of faith and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the shield of faith when you put on Jesus for your shield of faith. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You can quote scripture back at the enemy, just like Jesus did. And you can say things like, no weapon used against me will prosper, from Isaiah. And you can stand up. And the cool thing about the sword of the Spirit is it's actually empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we all need the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us the power that we need to fight the enemy. If we look at 2 Timothy talks about that in the last days, that the church will act like they are godly, but without the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit. We need to claim the Holy Spirit. And I want to just interrupt myself to tell people how to claim the Holy Spirit in a very simple way by telling you about Andrew Murray. He was a pastor from South Africa, and in the very late 1800s, he went up to the Moody Bible Institute to give a series of lectures to the young people there, and he taught them a very simple prayer that changed the lives and the destinies of these young people and caused them to be a force that could not be stopped in converting people to the Lord. And that simple prayer was this: more Holy Spirit. We can all pray that, more Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's your comforter, and he's already in your life when you're wearing the helmet of salvation anyway. But invite more of him in. And so now, as you are standing there with all of these different weapons on, you are standing clothed in Jesus. So think about this. You have Jesus in you, and you are wearing Jesus. How we must look to the enemy. How terrifying we must be to the enemy when we are dressed in the full armor of God. So that's what we need to be thinking about. And, you know, if you want to pray a quick prayer to put on the whole armor of God in one breath, just say, Jesus, I step in you. Remind me that you are in me. More Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you're ready to go. So when you get dressed in the morning, think of that. Think about wearing Jesus today, wearing the armor of God, and watch what a difference that will make in your life.
What I really liked about your book, Linda, that you bring out toward the end after you discuss all of the different different armor of God, is that if you use this and if you wear it like you should, then you receive the fruits of the Spirit, which I can't name them all, but love, joy, peace, gentleness. I can't name all of them. I wish I could.
Yeah. You did very well. We'll go with those. Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know,
self-control is the one that I always
struggle
for. Yes,
that was self-control. That's a good one. But the thing about the fruit of the Spirit is they further act as weapons of our warfare, because the Word says that against the fruit of the Spirit there is no law. So if you walk into a battle with peace or with love or with joy, the enemy cannot fight love. The enemy can't. He's already lost when you walk in loving your neighbor, when he was trying to stir up trouble against the two of you.
That's very true, yeah. Well, Linda, at this point, I'm just going to take a short, what I kind of call station identification type of a intermission here, because on Blog Talk Radio, we have people that come into the show and don't really know what they're listening to. So you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am the host, Patty Sheen, this morning, and our guest is Linda Evans Shepherd, who is a well-known, even though she doesn't think so, author. And her latest book is entitled Winning Your Daily Spiritual Battles, Living Empowered by the Armor of God. And we are discussing spiritual warfare, which is a very interesting topic and a very real threat to any Christian. So she is talking with us about how to armor ourselves against the enemy and against all of his tactics. Linda can be found on the internet. She has a Facebook page, she has a website, and she has a Twitter account. I'm not going to reel off any URLs here, but I am going to direct you to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. On that website, you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, and underneath that, you'll find a website, social media information page, and that has the links to the social media and websites and so such for all of our guests. So please go check that out. Also, if you missed any part of this broadcast, it is on archive. The link that is on the website that got you to the show in the first place is the same one that can be used for archive. We also have an archive page where all of the shows can be listened to. So I encourage you to go and check that out, and be sure and look up Linda's book, because it truly is a very interesting and informative and helpful book. Linda, we'll get back to you now. I have not read any of your other books as yet, but the subject of several of your books is prayer. Is there a right or wrong way to pray, and why or why not?
I'm glad you asked that, Patty, because I think probably a barrier that a lot of people have with God is they think that they can't talk to him because they don't know how. And so what they do is they're afraid, because they're afraid they're going to say something wrong, or maybe God will even get angry at them because they're not doing it right, they give God the silent treatment. And honestly, prayer is not about technique. It's not about a form. There's really no wrong way. God just wants you to talk to him, to realize that he is present with you. He's with you, and he wants you to talk to him throughout the day. And you can bring your cares to him. You can bring your loved ones to him. You can bring that meeting you have to go into that you're dreading and, you know, give me favor, Lord. You can talk to him about anything. And let's say you lose your temper and you say, boy, I'm really mad at you, God. God's big enough to take that. And then you look at how David prayed in the Psalms. He was always calling out, this is wrong and that is wrong, and how come you haven't answered me yet? And then he would say, but you are my rock, and in you I trust, and I will praise you all day long. So he would go off in that direction, and then in the end he would realize, hey, I'm talking to God. And then
yes,
he would worship him. And David, as well as Moses and many of the other great saints, made a very interesting statement. They said God had never failed them in a promise. And so that's really interesting, that God is someone that we can rely on, who loves us, that wants us to come to him. He wants us to spend time with him. But sometimes I think a barrier is that maybe we prayed about something and it didn't turn out the way we wanted. And so a lot of times we're actually angry at God. And when that happens, we need to confess it to him and maybe say, God, I don't understand why when I prayed for my friend to not die of leukemia, for example, and she died anyway, and I'm mad at you, can you help me? Can you help me understand? Can you help me get through this? Because I don't want to be separated from you. And, you know, sometimes God doesn't bless us with understanding all of the things that happen in life, but he will bless us with his presence and his comfort. And I brought up this particular illustration, Patty, because, as you know, I recently experienced the loss of my daughter. And, you know,
yes,
God could have healed her again.
I want to again express my condolences, Linda.
Oh, thank you. He could have healed her again. He's healed her he healed her so many times. But ultimately, he did heal her, because now she's no longer disabled. And I felt like he allowed her to whisper to my heart the other day. And I felt that she said to me, Mom, if you could just see me in heaven, you'd be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't understand everything. And we try to put God to the test, and we sometimes even pray things like, if you don't do it the way I ask, I'm not going to love you anymore. Now, that's a wrong prayer.
Right.
That's a wrong prayer.
Exactly.
Because
you're correct.
We are God's child. We are not God.
Yes.
And we have to learn how to trust him even when we don't like the answer we get.
And that kind of leads into my next question, and in a way you've kind of answered it already, Linda, as far as how does prayer go hand in hand with the armor of God?
Well, we need to recognize, number one, that we are not alone. Yes, we have the presence of God, but the enemy is also here. I mean, Jesus even talked about how the enemy was around, and Peter said that he goes around like a roaring lion looking for whom he can devour. And
yes,
we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know that Jesus came to give us life. And I think to pray into the armor of God, or to understand how to do that, we first have to understand that we are in a battle. This is not yet heaven. This is the earth where the enemy roams around looking for whom he can devour. Are you going to let that someone be you because you weren't able to understand that you were in a battle? For example, if I had a room in my house that was full of snakes, cobras and rattlesnakes, and I wanted to maybe pass through that room to get a drink of water, should I go into that room with the lights off and say, nothing will hurt me, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing bad in here, and then step on a snake and then go, why did God allow that snake to bite me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really kind of what a lot of us Christians do. We just put a blindfold on and walk through the snake den and then wonder why we get struck. We need to be wise. We need to be strategic. We need to open our eyes and say, yes, I have the love of the Lord. I have his presence with me, yes. But there is an enemy, and I have to be on guard, and I have to be careful. And what if you had a room in your house that had a crazy guy in it? Wouldn't you want to keep that door locked? You had a crazy guy with a butcher knife. Wouldn't you want to keep that door locked, or would you just say, well, you know what, I'm just going to go in and say hi to him and keep the door open and just, you know, I'm going to go to bed with the door unlocked? No, you wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You would not. And so we just, there are some doors we have, this is a great way to pray too, and that is by our actions. There are some shows we shouldn't be watching on TV. There are some books and other media we should not be participating with. And these can become bridges that the enemy can use to cross over so that he can torment you and inflict pain and suffering into your life. For example, let's say you decided to go to a psychic. Okay. A psychic gets their power. There are prophetic, godly people who can tell you things, loving things from God. I know a lot of people who do that, who can do that. But psychics don't get their power and their knowledge from the Holy Spirit. They get their knowledge from the evil one. And remember, the evil one wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So anything that you get from a psychic is a bridge or a stronghold that the enemy can cross to torment you and to lie to you and to bring destruction into your life. So that's just an example of things that you can do to keep the spiritual warfare away. You know, be aware, turn on the light of God's truth, and don't open the doors that you know you shouldn't open. And then step into Jesus. Like I said earlier, Jesus, I'm stepping into you, and I know that you're in me. I like to even plead the blood of Jesus over me and over my day. Guide me. Show me what you want me to do today. When you begin to open your day with prayers like that, you are going into your day fully dressed. You're going into the day with the lights on, with your eyes open, and you become more aware that you are in a battle and that you can win the battle just by standing your ground and staying in the truth of God and ready to fight at any moment the enemy and push him back so he will not hinder you when you go about the purposes that God has put on your life.
Another thought that crossed my mind in relating prayer to the armor of God, Linda, tell me here if I'm right. I've often thought, if you don't pray in truth, I mean, if you come to the Lord and say, oh, my next door neighbor, I just love him, he's just the sweetest person, and you say all these things that aren't true, you know, if you could come to God and say, look, Lord, this guy is a crotchety old man and he's very difficult to deal with, help me. You know, instead of sugarcoating things, or if you don't come to God with some sense of peace or asking him for peace, just like in the case with your daughter and my husband and, you know, people that we have lost. And if you come to God with this original attitude of, oh, you know, I'm just so glad this happened. Well, in the very beginning, you're not. Come to God in truth. Tell him how you actually feel.
Tell him how you really feel. Tell God how you really feel.
Very important part of prayer.
Yeah, I think it's important just to come to God in honesty. Tell him how you really feel. That really hurt me. I really need help. That's a very honest prayer. I don't think you have to say, boy, did you notice how nasty my neighbor is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you could say, did you notice my neighbor? I really need help with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he will help you.
And I also wonder sometimes, Linda, about the logistics of prayer. As I'm getting older, it's harder and harder for me to literally get on my knees.
Oh.
And I used to feel very guilty about that. But I've often thought about writing a book entitled, Is It Okay to Pray in the Shower? Because
can pray. You know, what we forget is we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We walk around. We are the Ark of the Covenant. They used to carry that around on golden poles and nobody could touch it because it's so holy. But when the Holy Spirit enters us through our faith in Christ, we become like a little holy of holies. So that means that we can pray anywhere. Wherever the Spirit is and he's in us, then if we're in the shower, pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pray wherever.
Exactly.
The Lord just wants you to stay in communication with him.
That's what he craves the most, I know. Well, Linda, as you know, the premise of this show, Step Into the Light, is for people to share dark times and how they came back to light. And you certainly have shared with us the loss of your daughter. That has to probably have been one of the darkest times that you ever experienced. Could you tell us which piece of armor you used to find your way back to light? Which piece did you feel was the most helpful?
Well, I wouldn't want to lose any of the pieces of the armor of God because they all serve their own purpose. But I think the peace, the gospel of peace, that was what I needed when I was going through my darkest days. And I just needed the peace and the comfort of God. I needed the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, to come and soothe my heart. I needed to confess that I was having trouble, because I did have trouble with all of this. And especially because of some mistakes that were made in the hospital that cost my daughter her life. And I had to process all of that and deal with all of that. I mean, one minute we're going to take her home, and the next minute somebody makes a mistake and my daughter dies.
Oh, gee, that has to have been tough. Wow.
That was really tough. And we believe the mistake was probably intentional. Because people have a prejudice against the disabled. That was a lot to deal with. And so I had to have the mind of Christ to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that helped me through when I thought about everything that happened, I felt the Spirit nudge me. I felt the Lord say to me, you know, they didn't understand, because I was saying to the Lord, they just didn't understand. My daughter was a person, and we loved her, and we valued her. And he said to me, they didn't understand about my son either. Remember when he prayed, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
I began to pray that prayer and forgiving. And I think that was probably the truth, the belt of truth to help me see that. God's truth helped me see that they didn't understand what they're doing. And somehow it's easier to forgive when we know people don't understand what they were doing. And that helped me. And then I asked the Lord to give me the power to forgive, his power, not my power. I'm not humanly strong enough to forgive that. But God is helping me and has helped me. And that has brought me a lot of comfort. And then knowing that he still had purposes for me to perform, and that I couldn't just sit on the couch and watch. I was watching, what is that show, the emergency room ER show, Untold Stories of
several
the ER.
Watch.
Nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I realized I have other purposes. I mean, this is very entertaining, and I have to get up, and I have people that I have to minister to, and I have to be the loving wife and mom to my son, and mom to my son, and wife to my husband, and I have to be strong for those who also share this great loss with us. And so the Lord put me back on track through those things. And so I don't know if you could name any one particular armor of God that helped me through the shield, of faith from the flaming darts of the enemy was very important at that time. The truth of God was very important at that time. So all of that kind of came together and really helped comfort me a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I can understand that. I think it takes a combination of all of them. But for me, there were a couple that just stood out. And I think the one for me was peace, and second was truth. The truth of what my husband's life would have been like if he had survived that surgery. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I just was curious to see if there was any one that just kind of really was the strength for you. Do you have a favorite go-to Bible verse or even an inspirational quote that you know, when things get kind of hairy, it's like, oh, and that comes into your mind?
Well, I just like to remember that what Jesus taught so often in his earthly ministry, he taught us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our strength, and our mind, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I find that the love of God and knowing his love for me, because I can't love God unless I understand his love for me. The more I understand that, the greater my love is for him, because it's power to love. And it's power to love my neighbor even when they're crotchety people next door or whatever.
Yes.
It's the power, power to love. And that power to love changes our outlook and our viewpoint, and then the willingness to be loved by God. Wow, that's it. God is love. It goes back to that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think my favorite is be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6, for in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. That anxiety, you know, that has helped calm a lot of anxiety in my life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And right now I'm just starting to work on a new book on the promises of God, and there are so many promises of love and peace and joy and comfort. We will never know them unless we go look for them in the Word. And they are so important to help us get through these difficult times.
Absolutely. Linda, before we wrap up, would you tell us a little bit about Leading Hearts Magazine, who it's for, how a person can get a subscription, how much it costs, which I think is free, but I'm not sure.
It is free, yes.
Leading Hearts
Magazine is for Christian women, Christian women who lead at home, at church, in their communities. All women are leaders. We lead our children, for example. It's just to encourage Christian women and to give them the helps and the tools that they need to do what God has called them to do and be. Go to Leading, not Bleeding, Leading, LEADING, leadinghearts.com. And you can click a link, and the next thing you know, it will be in your computer, and it's a flip computer magazine. You can flip through the pages and read it.
Actually, I will put that on the Leading Hearts, all one word.
Yes, leadinghearts.com.
Okay. I will put that on the website and social media information page as well, Linda,
well,
so
very
that
good.
People can access that. Okay?
Very good. We're about to drop our first issue of the year any day now, probably tonight or at least by Friday.
Oh, very good. How many issues come out in a year? Is it a monthly magazine or quarterly?
It's a bi-monthly, so we have 6 issues a year, but it is a beautiful magazine. It wins a lot of awards, and it's written by some very dear Christian women writers that a lot of people would be familiar with.
That's another question I was going to ask you in case we have any writers out there listening. Do you take freelance work?
We do, and you can go to leadinghearts.com and learn more about that.
Great. All right. Very good. Well, Linda, you have shared so much with us today. I hope that our listeners have kind of gained a grasp of what spiritual warfare is and how they can fight this battle, because it definitely is all around us in so many ways. And the thing is, some of it is so subtle that we don't even realize until somebody points out what's really going on. So I want to thank you ever so much for being with us today. Is there any final thoughts you have before we close out the show?
Yes, I just want to remind everyone that you are loved by God. And open your heart and say, yes, Lord, I receive more of your love, and I believe you when you say you love me. That will make such a huge difference in your day and in your life when you begin to fully grasp or try to fully grasp how great and deep and wide is his love for you.
That is so true, Linda. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning. It's been a blessing to have you here. And I look forward to maybe seeing you at one of our upcoming conferences.
Yes, I will be at the Colorado Christian Writers Conference this coming May.
So will I. I have been asked to be on faculty up there, so I will be there. So I'm very excited about that. In fact, I need to get my paperwork in to Marlene today.
Oh, I need to, too.
Yeah. So, again, thank you so very much, Linda. God bless you. And you and I will be in touch.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Pat.
To our listeners, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. God bless you. We will see you back here again next week. That would be the 24th of January at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a glow.